life are in the power of the tongue, the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs. Big question, are you using your tongue to speak words of life or words of death and destruction? Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Joining me on the microphone today is my wife, Debbie. And Debbie, you just got through with a study with the ladies at our church, First Baptist Texarkana, called Keep It Shut. Yes. It's all about the tongue and the fact that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So Keep It Shut, what is the subtitle of that book?
Knowing what to say, how to say it, and when to say nothing at all.
All right. What to say, how to say it, and when to say nothing at all. You know, that's important to know those things because if you don't, you get yourself in trouble.
Yes, definitely.
So the Bible makes it clear in the book of James that no man can tame the tongue. And with our tongues, we bless our father and we curse our neighbor, and those things ought not to be. It's very, very difficult to control the tongue. So what did you learn and what did you teach the ladies in Keep It Shut?
Well, I think the main thing that we just kept going back to in the book over and over and over again is that the trouble that we have with the tongue is truly a symptom of a heart problem.
Right.
And so it always goes back to the heart, because the Bible tells us that what comes from the heart, it's an overflow. Everything that comes out of our mouth, our thoughts, everything is an overflow of what's coming out of our hearts. And so just talked about the significance throughout the book. It talked about the significance of making sure that our hearts are right, that we're surrendered to the Lord, that we die to self, that not I, but Christ, we allow the Spirit to speak through us, and that we die to ourselves, which is very, very difficult to do.
Well, it is a hard issue because from the heart flow the springs of life. The scripture says in Luke 6:45, from the lips of Jesus, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Hey, if you have a lot of rotten words coming out of your mouth, maybe they're cuss words and vulgarities and just words that are just ugly, and it's like, wow, I can't believe you said that. You know, you don't say that in mixed company. Maybe there are words like that. You know, we have a lot of people that will say things that are off color, and they say, excuse my French.
Right.
Well, like that, you get a pass. I can cuss a blue streak and say, excuse my French. Well, I took French in school. I tell people, well, that isn't French. That was just a cuss word. But we can speak words like that, or we can just speak words that are inappropriate for the situation, that don't bring healing at all. They just bring death. They just discourage and take away people's hope. You're never going to amount to anything. You never do anything right. Those words that moms and dads can sometimes speak into the lives of their kids, those words hurt. And those words wound. We have that expression, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me.
Yeah, because bones heal.
Right.
Right? Bones heal. But we internalize those wounds that words bring. I mean, you just think back and reflect on your own life, and you might have had a teacher or your parent in passing say something to you that decades later, you still remember what they said. Now, you could ask them if they said it. They would probably have no recollection of saying it whatsoever. But in our hearts and in our minds, we have strategically filed that away, and it is ready for us to find that file at any given moment, because we just remember those things. Like you said, sticks and stones, they hurt you, yeah, but bones heal. Those words, they stay with you for a lifetime.
Well, I still remember a lady was in my office one day, and I was counseling her, and she told me something that her husband had said and done, and she said, I can never get past this. And no matter how much he said, you know, he might have said, I'm sorry, which he didn't say he was sorry because he really believed that. But it was just, that was a dividing line for her. And right. it had to do with something that he said.
Right.
And because it's like, okay, well, you just revealed your heart, because out of the, you know, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if that's in your heart, then we can't move forward.
Well, in our words, they're either going to be a sword or they're going to be a salve to people. And so, and we have to really guard that, because even our nonverbals, we can maybe think that we're faking it with our words, but often our nonverbals and our facial expressions will give us away. And so, you know, that is the way, the primary way that God gave us to communicate with other people. And I read a quote somewhere the other day, I forget where it was, but it was, it takes a child about 3 years to learn how to speak, but it takes you the rest of your life to figure out how to use your words and when to use them.
Right.
And so it's just a critical thing that as believers in particular, we learn to master our tongues. And we in and of ourselves are incapable of doing that. It is only when we die to self and we allow the Holy Spirit to have rule and reign over us that we're able to accomplish that.
Well, we're commanded to speak the truth in love. And as Christians, we need to be bold as witnesses for Christ. But and to tell the truth, but we always speak the truth in love. I tell people this. I said, listen, when I'm preaching a sermon, I'm thinking to myself, speak the truth in love. And truth is the lead foot. I don't want to say anything that's not right. And I don't want to shy away from anything that people need to hear. People need to hear the truth, because you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. So truth is critical. But now when I'm talking to somebody one-on-one, it's the truth in love, but love is the lead foot. So it's love in truth. And the difference will be if I'm talking to a congregation of people, I'm not talking to you specifically. I'm just putting it out there. You know, if it's a sermon is, if the shoe fits, wear it. One-on-one, I'm talking directly to you, so it's going to be, I'm speaking loving truth. And in a sermon, it's the truth in love. So I think that's important for pastors to remember. And if you're preaching on something that, you know, how could he preach on hell without having a broken heart? As you look out and see people that no doubt there are those in the congregation that have never trusted Christ, they're on the highway to hell. It breaks your heart. You don't want them to go to hell. So there's passion and urgency there saying, hey, you don't have to go there. Jesus died on the cross so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. When you're talking to someone one-on-one that's going through an issue, that's struggling with some kind of sin, how Jesus dealt with the woman caught in the act of adultery. Very gentle, but he didn't back off the truth. So I think those things, especially for pastors, for teachers, to remember that. Hey, speaking to a group, truth in love. Speaking to an individual, love in truth.
Well, and I think too, all too often, we just have a tendency to run our mouths. So we say too much, and we don't necessarily listen before we speak. I mean, have you ever been in this situation, and this is really a rhetorical question, Jeff, but have you ever been in the situation where while someone else is speaking, you're already thinking about what your response back is going to be? So it's not necessarily that you're really listening. You're kind of pseudo-listening, right? Because you have an idea of what they're saying, but you're already kind of trying to formulate your own response back to that.
Right.
And so it's critical for us to make sure that we really spend time listening, that we don't speak too much. And then there are often occasions where we need to just not speak at all. Forget where the quote came from, but it was something along this line, that we rarely ever have to apologize for something we didn't say.
Right.
And so it's important that we temper our speech, that we listen before we respond.
Right. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger.
And our gut reaction is the opposite of that, right?
Right.
We want to be quick to speak and slow to listen.
Right.
You know, and we need to do the opposite of that.
Well, Paul in Colossians chapter 4 says this, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. And so remember that my speech is to always be seasoned with grace. Just like my food is seasoned with salt, my speech needs to be seasoned with grace. The Bible tells us that a gentle answer, Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath. You know, on social media, we're not speaking, but we're writing words.
Ooh, that's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it can be, people can just lash out at others that they don't even know and accuse them of things and come at them. And when that happens, you know, the initial response is, all right, well, I'm gonna send back something to you, this person I don't even know. So I try and back up, and I don't do it perfectly, but I try and back up and say, okay, I don't know what's going on in this person's life. I don't even know who this person is that's kind of coming at me hard. They obviously don't know me, but a gentle answer turns away wrath. And you don't want to be personal and pointed, oh yeah, well, your mother wears army boots, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, you know, we talked about a lot in the course of this study about how to conduct yourself online on social media. And we did use that Colossians verse kind of as a base for part of our conversation. And it we kind of ended up with about five questions that you kind of needed to ask yourself as you are responding back on social media. And that is, number one, is this comment wise? Is it wise for me to say this back? And I have found just in my own use of social media, which is very slim because I'm just not a social media person at all, you're not normally going to persuade or change someone's opinion on social media. It's right. Just not going to happen. Their opinion's already formed. Okay, so first, is the comment wise? Number two, will this comment help me display God's love to people? Is it going to be a good witness for the Lord? Is the comment, number three, is it full of grace, just like that verse says? Is it seasoned with salt? And when, you know, you think about salt, just some of the characteristics of salt, salt enhances flavor, salt preserves. It's very valuable. It kind of purifies and it softens things, and it even melts hard ice. Salt will do that. And so we have to really think through those things. Like, is the thing that we're saying, are our words, are the things that we're writing down on social media, are they enhancing the situation? Are they being preserving of life? Are they valuable words? And then we have to just ask ourselves and ask the Lord to tell us, hey, is this the best response? Lord, show me what I need to say in this situation, or if I truly just don't need to respond to this at all.
Right.
Because the Lord will be faithful to do that.
Right.
Because all too often, we respond in haste, we respond out of emotion, and it's better to just sit on something for a while before we just spew out words, especially on social media, because they cannot be taken back.
No, people take screenshots and use those, you know, in the future. So the old phrase from Socrates, when to respond and what to say, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? And those are good questions to ask ourselves before we speak, before we write something. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm here with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Well, when we come back, we would love to take your calls. The number to call is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And let's talk about this important subject, the power of the tongue. So we will take our break and we'll be right back. And be praying for Florida. They are facing the aftermath of the storm, and we want to continue to pray for them.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here, and I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
Hannah took her pain to God, and God heard her and was with her.
Hannah's Heart helps couples process infertility and miscarriage through a biblical lens. Join us Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. Find the podcast at afr.net.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan, double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your healthcare. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time, right here on American Family Radio. Well, Debbie, my wife and I were talking about the power of the tongue. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, death and life are in the power of the tongue. We can use our tongues to build up, to encourage, to help a situation, or we can use our tongues to destroy. And the big question is, how are you using your tongue? Well, we are taking calls, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And we have Ronnie on the line from Columbia, Tennessee. Ronnie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to say how much I appreciate this subject today. I can be the world's worst at a tempered tongue, and I'm working on it, and your words are encouraging, and your advice is wonderful, and I'm gonna take hold of them going forward and do the best I can.
Yeah.
And
do you tend to just be blunt?
Yes. Yeah. Truthfulness. I tend to share the truth, and sometimes it's very harsh. You know, one thing about salt, it can also burn a wound.
Right.
That's
right.
Know?
So when you're talking to someone with a wounded heart, and you share the truth with them, it can hurt them. It can burn them. And even though I do that, I don't mean harm. I mean, you know, to share the truth. And it's just, but sometimes I don't use the correct words. But I'm going to work on it. And I just appreciate this show, and I appreciate you all, your advice that you give us.
Well, thank you, Ronnie. I appreciate that. And yeah, we just keep working on that. It, you know, it comes out of the heart. And I would just encourage you, as you pray, just say, Lord, help me to be very aware of what comes out of my mouth. Lots of times we're just not thinking about what we're saying or how we're saying it. Sometimes we can say the right thing, but we say it the wrong way in the wrong spirit because we're angry, or sometimes it can be righteous indignation. We're just like, this is so against what God says, but we can come off so strong that people don't hear and don't listen to it very well. And I do think that from the pulpit you can be very strong because you're not talking directly to an individual. As I said in the first segment, if the shoe fits, wear it. But when you're talking to an individual, you have to really temper that back. Now, I'm a very truth-oriented person and very just like, hey, you know, we're never going to get anywhere unless we follow the truth. But you have to be gentle with people. I like what the scripture says in Proverbs 25:20, like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar on soda is he who sings songs to a troubled heart. Your words have to be appropriate for the situation. When someone's hurting, it's not time to, let's sing a happy little song, because that person is just devastated. You need to be appropriate.
And that goes back to the verse, I want to say it's in 2 Timothy, but Mr. Bible may correct me on this, but it's where the word needs to be edifying for the moment.
That's Ephesians. If,
you know, it was New Testament, right? I mean, I was at least in the ballpark. Yeah. But it does, because what we say may be true and accurate, but run the thought through your mind. Is it going to be edifying for the moment? And I know just recently we encountered that with someone that we were counseling. And I remember telling Jeff, because we had been talking through the issue prior to talking with this person. And I said, you know, right now, this person's on life support emotionally. And so, yes, they need the surgery of the truth. It's important that they have surgery to live. But right now, they've got to get strong enough to encounter surgery. They're not ready for surgery. So we have to temper what we're going to say, because even though this is truth, it's not going to be edifying for the moment. So yeah, that's an important thing, I think, for us to always keep in the forefront of our minds.
Yes. So thank you, Ronnie. God bless you, my brother. We have Monty from Culpeper, Virginia on the line. Monty, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Jeff, I have a hard time being brief, but I'm going to try to not only thank you and Deborah for all the kindness and the wonderful edifying words. I adopted the word edify early in my life. I was, you know, with Christ at 5, and then at 14 or 15, I got baptized. But we have 8 children. They're all 31 down to 16. I'm only 74. But the reason I share this with you, the love chapter and the things that we say because we react instead of respond. And that's, I think, Thomas Jefferson, or one of those guys, said, you know, if you would just wait 10 seconds, at least 10 seconds before you respond to somebody's remark that does not seem very kind and edifying, that you would better prepare yourself to say something spiritually from your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared us for. But I can't thank y'all enough. And I just know that when we use, in fact, my wife and I eloped the first time, got married the second time a year later. And I said, honey, if that just the peace does not open the Bible to marry us the first time, we're not going to get married. And she says, what? I said, it's important that he responds in a spiritual way to our marriage. Then the next year we got married in the church. But without going on and on, Jeff, you guys are just wonderful. We in Culpeper have 2 of your stations, not 1. And I'm coming to Tupelo, Mississippi, and meet some of you guys.
Oh, cool. Well, thank you, Monty. I appreciate that. And may God bless you as you raise those kids. And that's a challenge all by itself. So I thank you for listening. Thank you for encouraging us. And may God just bless you and put his hand upon you. Well, we have Mary Ann in Texas. Mary Ann, welcome to the program today.
Good morning. So Both of my adult children have started participating in homosexual lifestyles, and it's sometimes very difficult to have these hard conversations with them without creating big, deep scars. So I would love some advice.
Well, okay, first of all, very, very difficult. So what you're facing is extremely difficult as a parent who, from what I gather, loves the Lord, wants your kids to love the Lord and walk with the Lord. As John said, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth. You're seeing your children not walk in the truth. You're seeing them walk in an area where it's just going to bring destruction and misery. And if you continue on that way, it would bring death. And so I just want to let you know that if I'm you, I'm struggling too. So this isn't an easy thing at all. This is very, very difficult. I would say, and then I'll let Debbie answer, but Marianne, I would say that you want your kids to know beyond any shadow of a doubt, I love you. I'll always love you no matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter what happens. You're always going to be my child, and I love you, and I'll be here for you. I can't support you walking in a direction that leads off a cliff. So I would never do that because I love you too much to do that. Love doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. So 1 Corinthians 13:6. And I can't rejoice in what you're doing because it's unrighteous and it's not the way that God intended. Here's the other thing about that is, you know, those conversations, they can't be had if the other person doesn't want them. So you can't cram truth down somebody's throat that doesn't want it. So you have to be giving that in little doses, being very sensitive to the Holy Spirit, asking and praying that God would open the hearts of your children to hear the truth. And probably they're not going to hear it in big doses. They're going to hear it in little sprinkles. And to see that, hey, Mom still loves me. Mom's praying for me. We disagree on this subject, but that doesn't mean that she's my enemy.
Well, I think, praise the Lord, it is not our job to be our children's personal Holy Spirit. That responsibility does not lie on our shoulders. And that's a great relief because we can trust the Holy Spirit to speak to hearts. And so often our children receive information from other people so much better than they receive it from us. When they hear it come out of our mouths, it can come across very judgmental and very conditional. But when they hear it come from other people, they are often more receptive to it. And so I think one of the main things that we can do as parents is to pray and ask the Lord in His graciousness and His mercy and His kindness to send believers into the lives of our children that can speak truth to them in such a way that they can receive it. And the Lord is faithful to do that, and to just really take the burden of that off of yourself and to put it back on the Lord and to leave it with Him, which of course is much easier said than done, but that doesn't negate the truth of the fact that we need to do that. And again, just like Jeff said, that's just such a hard situation. It's so hard to know what to say, how to say it, when to say nothing at all, because the righteousness in you wells up and you want to say something. But more often than not, with our own kids, especially when they have wandered away from the Lord, they hear things better from other people. And so just to continue to be on your knees before the Lord, asking Him to be ever present with your child, to protect them and to send other believers into their life that can speak truth.
You know, the other thing, Marianne, that is good to pray from the book of Proverbs, the backslider in heart will have his fill of his own ways, is just to pray that God would help your kids just be sick to death with their sin and their lifestyle. Like the prodigal son, had to come to his senses. He had to see that he was at the pigsty getting ready to eat pig slop before he returned. And so when he came to his senses, that's when he said, wait a minute, what am I doing here? So pray that God bring them to the end of themselves so that they would see how desperately they need you. Help them to come to their senses. So I hope that's helpful to you, Marianne.
Yes, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for listening to the program, and thank you for calling in. Well, we'd love to take your call. The number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And we're talking about the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit, Proverbs 18:21. Now, Debbie, you were mentioning at the break about this thing that we love to participate in as sinners, and that is gossip.
Oh, I know, right? There's an old Irish proverb that says, "He who gossips with you will gossip about you." And to me, that was something that was really eye-opening, because gossip does not just entail what comes out of our mouth. We are gossiping if we are engaging with other people who are gossiping, if we're listening to it. So we have to be so careful about that, because it is just kind of just instinctively within us to want to talk about other people in a negative way. I mean, there are times that, yes, with a trusted friend, you need to talk about another situation and talk through something, but that gossiping, boy, we have to really watch that, because it's not just a personality trait. It's not just something that's fun to do. The Bible clearly tells us that it's sin. It's not a harmless thing to do, and we need to be really, really, really careful with it.
Well, there are two verses in Proverbs. They are identical. Proverbs 18:8, Proverbs 26:22. It says this: "The words of a whisperer." What's a whisperer? A gossiper. "The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the body." What's a dainty morsel? Well, if you've ever been to a wedding and they have little finger sandwiches, you know, they have like the little finger trays of things, and you know, a finger sandwich is a lot of times pimento cheese or something like that, and they're just cut up in these little bits, and it's like, you know, that can't count for calories. It's just a finger sandwich. You know, just have one. Oh, that's so good. I'll have another and another and another. The words of a gossiper are like that. It's just like, oh, that was so fun. Now let's talk about someone else. And let's tear them down and say what they did here and there. Oh, have you heard about so-and-so? No, I haven't. Please tell. You know, that kind of thing. And that's just so common to human nature. We like to hear dirt on people. And I struggle with that. Debbie struggles with that. You struggle with it more.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Well, the you I was referring to is the audience. We all struggle with that. We have to be very careful. Are these words, would I say this in front of this person? You know, is this helpful? As a pastor, sometimes we have to talk about, you know, staff members that, hey, maybe this isn't going so well, and you have to have a conversation. Quinn Stanfill, our worship pastor, he always calls that inside baseball. He said, hey, we have to have the inside baseball talk, where you have to talk about stuff because it's important for the church moving forward, for the staff moving forward. But you don't want to be a gossip, and you don't want to share things that hurt someone's reputation. You know, when there are bad things out there and the person has done some terrible things, you don't want to be the one to run them down and tear them up and say things, well, I heard Pastor Jeff say blah, blah, blah about this person. I want to be very careful with that.
Right.
And so just be careful with the words of a whisperer, because they are like dainty morsels. Well, we have a couple of people on the line. We're not going to have enough time in this segment to get to you, but if you can wait, we will talk to Kathy and then to Margie when we come right back from the break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm here with my wife, Debbie, and I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Hey, if you don't have a church home and you live somewhere close to Texarkana, Texas, we would love for you to join us this Sunday. We're in a series on the book of Ecclesiastes, and this Sunday I'm going to be preaching from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the time of your life. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The AFA Resource Center has all your favorite items. Everything from books, movies, shirts, and even hats. Introducing AFA's polyester and twill hats, starting at just $18. Whether you're into fashion, a collector, or you're just having a bad hair day, these hats are just what you need. You can buy one for yourself or a friend. Purchase your AFA hat today at resources.afa.net. AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
I'm Peter Rosenberger, and this is your Caregiver Minute. One of the toughest challenges for caregivers is to detach from the poor conduct of our loved one. Chronic pain, dementia, pharmaceuticals, fear, those things can cause all types of behavior issues. Maybe they're just having a bad day. Regardless of what's going on with them, we don't have to take it personally, even if it sounds personal. As long as our self-worth is tied to the opinion of someone else, we're never going to be a healthy person. You are an extraordinary individual created in the image of God, and amazingly, you show up to care for an impaired loved one. They may pop off at you, say hurtful things, and berate you, but remember, they are impaired on some level. Why would you attach your value to a sickness? Listen, they're not doing it to you, they're just doing it. Let it go on past you and go about your day feeling confident you're doing the best you can with what you have and what you know.
This has been your Caregiver Minute with Peter Rosenberger, brought to you by Standing with Hope, a ministry for the wounded and those who care for them. There's more information at standingwithhope.com.
Sometimes you see a win, a glimpse of God in this broken world. Preborn rejoices in the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Preborn's mission is to love and help women in unplanned pregnancies by offering them the truth to help them make the right choice by providing free ultrasounds. You see, when an expectant mom hears her baby's heartbeat and sees the image of her baby on ultrasound, she's seeing a life created in God's image, and it's a divine connection.
And I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com, or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm here with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. And so we have Kathy on the line from Texas. Kathy, thank you for holding, and welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. I wanted to share with Mary Ann the Laura Perry story, and her mom and her Bible study prayed for years for Laura to come to the Lord, and her prayers were answered. And in fact, I think she has a prodigal ministry, you know, for other prodigals. So, and also maybe watch In His Image, so mom can become more educated on, you know, and in a loving way, maybe present this at the right time.
Amen.
You know, and just recently, Laura got married.
Yeah, I heard her. Mm-hmm. She was on somebody's program.
Yeah.
Alexander Hamilton III. I think she was on his program yesterday. excellent comment, Kathy, because that would really help Marianne. And so In His Image is an American Family Association movie. Excellent depiction of the truth and speaking the truth in love. So thank you for that, and I hope Marianne gets that. We have Margie in Texas on the line. Margie, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff and Pastor Debbie.
Because well, she's in not my a pastor, book,
you're, I know, but she's a pastor in my heart. So, but considering the power of the tongue, when y'all started talking about that, I sat up and listened because I've been a telephone operator all my life, and I love the Lord with all my heart. But I'm just trying to, as you can say, watch what comes out of the mouth. Mm-hmm. But I live in the big Montgomery County, and I appreciate you guys so much, and I don't know what else to say because y'all just keep on keeping on. Jeff, I'm the one that asked you about if you were kin to Herbie Shreve a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
So that's who you're talking to, but you guys are a blessing, and I will leave you alone and let the other people talk, but you have a blessed day, and praise the Lord for you.
Oh, thank you, Margie. So sweet. I appreciate that. Well, we have Karen from Lafayette, Louisiana. Karen, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Karen, are you there?
Well, it me? I guess it's my turn. Thank you. God bless both of you, and thank you for taking this call. What I've been concerned with lately and have experienced in myself, which God delivered me from, and I'm so very grateful for that, is the suggestion sometimes of people that maybe parents or someone else that might, teachers or someone that suggests that a child is having a problem when they're not at all having a problem, like what we're doing right now with some of the gender things. Mm-hmm. And the power of the suggestion of the tongue, mm-hmm. when there may be no truth in it at all, that we need to be very careful about that. Without the knowledge that we need, we might say something that and suggest something to someone. It doesn't have to be a child, but I'm more concerned now with the school system and the children and things that might be said maybe by the person not even meaning to hurt at all, but not really thinking or maybe being required to say things that could injure for life and put in a child's mind mm-hmm. that could be true of them and take years to get it out of their mind.
Yes, excellent comment, Karen. Debbie, what were you going to say about that?
I didn't have anything.
Oh, I thought you were shaking your head.
No, I was just in agreement.
Yeah. I think as parents, parents especially of young children, you need to be very cognizant of where they're going to school, who their teachers are, what they're being taught. Debbie and I have had this conversation. Our kids are grown and gone, but with our grandkids, if we had kids today, we would, depending on where we lived, we would think long and hard about homeschooling just because we know that God has given us these children and it's our job to protect them from physical harm, protect them from mental, emotional harm that a teacher can do. You know, a lot of these teachers, they're just deceived. They're thinking that they're setting this kid free to be what they were supposed to be. And, you know, I heard Jordan Peterson the other day say, hey, there are feminine boys and there are masculine girls. He said, there have always been the people like that. There have always been tomboys. There have always been boys that are not as athletic or rough and tough and tumble. That's just the way God made you. That doesn't mean you're the wrong gender. That doesn't mean you have to start carving yourself up because you do that and you're going to destroy yourself. So I would just encourage parents to be very, very close and keep abreast of what's going on at your child's school, what's going on in your child, and then speak the truth over them, pray over them at night that God would protect their minds and not let those evil suggestions come in and embed themselves, because if the devil gets a you know, all he's looking for is a toehold, because he can take a toehold and turn it into a foothold and turn it into a stronghold, and then it can plague that child's mind. So thank you so much for that, Karen. Well, we have Greg from Kentucky on the line. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello, Pastor Shreve and Debbie. Hello. Thank you so much for your ministry.
Thank you.
I listen as often as I can, and I learn a lot, so thank you. Two quick questions for you. One is, it relates to taming the tongue, so vital of a discussion. What are the boundaries you would suggest for if I'm talking with my wife and I know the conversation doesn't go anywhere and I have a concern about somebody? Are there boundaries there that we should not go past, and how we're sharing concerns that we might have? Let's just say it's somebody within the church. My second question is, I hear Laura Perry, her mom, talking about at some point her mom just gave her over to the Lord. I have adult children. As I pray for them, two of them are leading very secular lifestyles. And I've been praying that, you know, Lord, help me to turn them over to you. And I'm not sure what that looks like. Does that change the way that I pray for them? Debbie, you said something that I really love. I'm not responsible to be their Holy Spirit. And it can be very difficult to talk to children, adult children, and they're not in a, like, a homosexual lifestyle or anything, but it's a very worldly lifestyle. So anyway, I'm two questions there. I would welcome very much any thoughts.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. I appreciate that. Okay, so first one, what does it mean to give your children over to God? I think it's kind of like when you're carrying a burden. So the Bible says, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. So we love our kids. It's just normal and natural to do that. When they're hurting, we're hurting. When you see them going in a wrong direction, when you see them not living for the Lord, it's a wound in your heart. And so how do I deal with this? Well, I'm going to say, Lord, you love them more than I do. And so I just put them on the altar. I'm not able to carry this burden, and I give that to you. That doesn't mean you're not praying for them. You're praying for them constantly, but you know that you're not carrying that with you, because it can, when your kids are going haywire and you're carrying the burden, it can just bring you to a grinding halt, because you just can't get it out of your mind. You can't function well. It's hard to be joyful. And so when you cast that burden on the Lord, you just know, hey, God's in control of this. I'm trusting him with this. And you just keep reminding the Lord, Lord, now she, you know, my daughter, my son, you love them more than I do. And so I ask you to work in their hearts. You do things that I can't do. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. And so, Lord, you change their heart, convict their heart. Help me to know how to respond and how to, when to say things and when not to say things. And how do I, you know, work in this situation?
I think also it's important for us to remember, particularly with our adult children, that the battles that they are fighting are their battles. They're not our battles. They're their battles. So we can help supply them with ammunition in praying for them, but they have to do the fighting. And we cannot take on the burden of their battle, because it is theirs. It is something, if we try to come in and jump in, we can shortchange what the Lord is trying to actually do and accomplish in their lives. And so I know in different situations in our family, we have often just prayed, Lord, let this be rock bottom for them so that they can, at this point, turn their eyes towards you. We don't want them to have to sink lower than where they are. But please, Lord, intervene and do a work on their behalf. We entrust them to you, because the battle is not ours to fight. They have to fight it themselves.
Yeah, and we don't want to be enablers, bailing them out financially, perhaps, because they make bad decisions. That just prolongs the the situation that
and
God
that's hard to do.
Yeah, very
it's
hard to
very
do.
Very hard to have that tough love. Oh, goodness. Well, Jeff, address what Greg's question was about boundaries in terms of conversations.
So boundaries in the, I think in the context, Greg, was it in a marriage relationship? What do you share with your spouse?
Yes, within the home, if there's something I'm struggling with and I know it won't go anywhere, my wife and I, we share everything. I think sometimes, though, I've maybe crossed a line and it's maybe I don't approach it humbly enough. Maybe there's still, you know, that fleshly portion of me wells up. And I don't know, I just struggle with sometimes, should I say something? Should I not? It would not be something that I would share with, you know, anybody else beyond her. You know, how do I have those discussions with my wife?
Yeah, great question. I think it's hard to know, you know, definitively on that. I would just say, you know, be real sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so when you're getting ready to say something that you're not sure about, really, that's a great time to pray 911. Lord, show me if I should share this or not share this.
And when in doubt, don't.
Yes. So, you know, Chuck Swindoll, Debbie had mentioned this quote. I heard it from Chuck Swindoll. He said, I've never had to apologize for something I didn't say. So oftentimes, you know, Ecclesiastes says, you know, let your words be few. And so oftentimes it's better to say too little than it is to say too much. We say too much, then we get ourselves in trouble, and especially with a spouse. You know, guys can share. I told some guys just yesterday at our Thursday lunch, Man Up, I said, you know, you need to have an accountability partner, guys, that you can share your struggles with. That probably doesn't need to be your wife, because she doesn't understand, you know, the struggle with lust that guys have and things like that. And it's better to have another brother in the Lord for those kinds of things. So, Greg, I appreciate your call. Thanks so much. And thanks for your encouragement to us. We have Roxanne on the line from Houston, Texas. Roxanne, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I'm in Conroe. And I'm also in Montgomery County, where that previous lady was. I just wanted to say I love your ministry. You preach where we live, and it's so helpful. My issue is sarcasm. My family, we always spoke to each other sarcastically. I mean, it was like a daily thing, or, you know, around the dinner table or whatever. And it's a habit. It gets to be a habit. Mm-hmm. And so it's like making a joke out of something that really shouldn't be a joke.
Yeah.
What do you suggest I do to get, because I do that, and I do it. I don't think about it. It's just something I do, and I want to stop doing that.
Yes. Well, I appreciate your call, and I appreciate your kind words. That's a good question, too. I tend to be sarcastic, and in our home, we had sarcastic humor. I think it can be in good fun, but then it can go too far. And Debbie, you've always pointed it out, if I've taken things mm-hmm. too far. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think it's just a bad thing if it's a playful thing and it's not designed to hurt. But we have to be careful where the line is. The Bible says this, Ephesians 5:4, and there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And so I don't have a definitive answer. You have an answer for this?
Well, I think more than anything, we just need to remember we're all works in progress, and to just ask the Holy Spirit to make you extremely sensitive to that. And as soon as He pricks your heart after something's come out of your mouth, you just stop and you just instantly apologize for whatever it is that you said and the motive that was behind it. I think having that kind of communication with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit and just giving Him permission to do that can help us in that area.
Amen. Well, we had a couple of other callers. I'm sorry we ran out of time, but thank you for listening to the program. Thank you for calling in. This is Real Truth for Today, and I am your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Go out and shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you. I'll be with you again on Monday. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.